First Psalm, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Verse 1 said, blessed. That's the description that God gives. It's not a description that has been suggested to Him and He might pass it on to us. But this description here is of His own making. And the greatest thing, I guess, that can be said of a man or to be told of a man is that he's blessed. It's one thing to be blessed in the eyes of men and to receive this high and holy description by men, but to think that if God says this about a man, it's a wonderful thing, I think. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not influenced. He's not influenced by the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. Not necessarily confining this to the Ten Commandments, but in the word of the Lord. Every word of the Lord is pure. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in due season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If you'll turn with me to the Psalm 33, we'll make a few comments here and go home. Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19, says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Now, it does not say here that the eye of the Lord is on those who are believing and those who are obedient and on those who are faithful. But I believe His eye is on them. But it does not say that here. But it says that His eye is on them that fear Him, that give reverence to Him. Not fear a slavish-like fear, but a fear of reverence, a fear of appreciation, and so forth. To deliver them, to deliver their soul from death. I don't know how much you know. I know I don't know much about mourning over the feeling of spiritual death. The great apostle said that he knew a little something about it because he said, I die daily. I die daily. Mourn over the feeling of spiritual death. Another place he said, the sentence of death is in our cells. But the point that I want to make is that the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. His eye is on those and upon those that hope in His mercy. They fear Him and they hope in His mercy that their soul might be delivered from death, the second death, and He might keep them alive in famine. And we're in a time of famine now. That is, famine of the Word. There's not much of the Word that is being taught in our day. Everything contrary to the Word. And there is a famine of the Word. I trust that there'll never be a famine in this place. We'll always have the Word as our rule and practice and so forth. But there's another precious verse here in this 34th Psalm that I'll read and call your attention to. I think it's in verse 15. It says that the eyes of the Lord. Down here it said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. Over here it says, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. And His ears are open to their cry. The eyes of the Lord. Then it says, the face of the Lord, verse 16, is against them that do evil. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That's precious, those scriptures are. Who are the righteous? That's His own people. That's those that are eternally loved by God Himself. They are eternal, beloved members of His church, of His body, whom He has seen righteous in His righteousness. That's who the righteous are. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Who are the righteous? They are those that His eyes see righteous in His righteousness. Now, we understand that, but not many people do. We're righteous in His righteousness. His eyes behold us. His eyes are upon us. Sees us righteous in His own righteousness. He sees us perfect in His own perfection. He sees us complete in Him. That's the way He views us. Sees us. As we said, as we prayed, He sees us in Him. And as He is in this world, so are we. And we rejoice that the Lord sees us this way. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 9 of the book of Matthew, there's something here that's very precious about what the Lord sees. Chapter 9, verse 2 there. Verse 1 says that our Lord entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Remember, I talked to you this morning about coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. What did I say? I said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto Me, and I will give you rest. There's a man that he came unto Jesus. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Talking about the eyes of Jesus. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, that man that came to Jesus, lying on a bed, how did that man come to Jesus? Now, he did not come running. He didn't come walking. Or he didn't come crawling. Of himself. He could not come at all. Yet he did come. They brought him. Huh? And it does not say here that the Lord saw the faith of the man who was sick of the palsy, but it says that He saw the faith. He saw. His eyes are upon the righteous. His eyes saw them that brought Him. He saw their faith. Those that brought Him. And what was the result? Well, our Lord owned him as a son and gave him such sweet encouragement. He gave him the assurance of sins forgiven, and He restored his health. The eyes of the Lord saw their faith. Their faith. And Jesus, He said, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. And they said, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. That's what they said about the Lord. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? He knows, the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter says, He knows the thoughts and the intents of every man's heart. The thoughts and the intents of every man's heart. So He said, which is easier, to say, thy sins forgiven thee, or say, rise and walk? This man, he arose and departed into his house. went away happy. Huh? The Lord owned him, blessed him. Then there's another passage here I want to call your attention to in the book of Mark, or the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 61, 62. It says, and the Lord turned and he looked on Peter. His eyes fixed on Peter. Lord turned and he looked on Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Well, you remember now that Peter, after many promises and protests to the contrary, fails in his discipleship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of standing with him like he said he would do, I'll stand with you. I'll die with you. I'll defend you unto death. He failed in his discipleship. One lesson that we need to learn here is this. Don't be in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry to make promises what you will do for him, or what you'll do for his people, or what you'll do for his cause. Don't be in such a big hurry to make promises concerning these things, because it may be before your promises is realized, he may come along and blight our hopes and wither our expectations about fulfilling that promise. If you feel that you have something to do by way of promise, do it now and do it as quick as you can. Peter promised to stand by. Instead of standing by, he followed afar off. And the Lord turned and looked on Peter down there. The Lord turned and his eyes was fixed upon Peter. Now the Lord's look to Peter, the Lord's eyes fixed on Peter, was one of loving remembrance. Now you can depend on this. His looks, when he looks upon the righteous, looks upon his own, those that he owns, those that own him, when he looks upon us in our weakness and in our wanderings, his looks are always looks of love. Now that ought to help you. Weak and wandering as we are, when the eyes of the Lord looks upon, and they're always fixed upon the righteous, he looks always upon us in love, like he did old Peter. And he restored old Peter, didn't he? Didn't he restore him? And old Peter became a mighty man in the army of God. And everybody knows about Peter. Anybody that knows anything at all about the Bible, if you'll ask them, tell me a name of one of the apostles, they'll always say, Peter was an apostle. Peter was an apostle. Oh, listen. And one more thing over here. I think it's Song of Solomon. Something there that kind of took my eye. I was thinking about it when I came up here this afternoon. I always come in through that building, come through here, and most all of the time, sometimes I forget, but not too often. I haven't forgot too many times at all, and you remember now, I come up here sometimes during the week, but I come up here twice every Sunday. I come in the morning around 7:15, 7:30, and I come in the afternoon sometimes around 3:30 or quarter to 4. And I've been doing that for I don't know how many years. Sometimes I forget to go out there and unlock that door. Sometimes, not very many times, but the first thing I do, if I have a cup of coffee, I set that down, and I walk right back there and open that door. First thing, turn the lights on, open the door. And I always look out to see if there's a dove sitting on that big plank up there. And he always sits there. Do you ever look at that dove out there? I'll take a good look at that dove. Especially at that dove's eyes. His eyes are like a pure circle. His eyes are like a wedding band, that round. An emblem, no end. No end to this round circle. It just goes round. There's no end to it. And you look up there at that little old dove, and that dove never flies away, never gets scared of you. You, 8 or 10 of you can go out through there, and the kids will be hollering and all that, and that old dove will just be sitting right there. And the thing about that dove, he's got that big black eye looking on this side, and he never blinks that eye. He never bats his eye. Looks at you, never moves. Over here in the Song of Solomon, it says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ." Song of Solomon, chapter 5, it describes the beloved here and tells it, says, "My beloved is white," has to do with purity, ruddy. Chiefest among 10,000. His head is as most fine gold. His locks are bushy, as black as a raven. And here's the thing that got me. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of the water, washed with milk and fitly. You look at that dove when you go out. You'll see the right side of that dove's head. You'll see that eye, that round circle, that black eye. And it's set. It's fitly set. Now, his eyes are as the eyes of a dove. And this is what they call in the Bible a metaphor. And this metaphor is to direct our attention to the true nature of the Lord's love to His own. It says that He has, His eyes are like the eyes of a dove. Now the thing that is remarkable about the dove, it's remarkable for its gentleness. Dove never flies. If it was a sparrow or a robin or a cardinal or a wren or a crow or any, they fly away. Flighty. But the dove is not like that. The dove is known for its gentleness and for its consistency, and it's known for its faithfulness. When the dove takes up a mate, he takes that mate forever. And when that mate dies, he remains chaste. The our Lord Jesus Christ is like that dove. The eyes, his eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and dipped. That's our dear Savior, faithful to us, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never give you up. He said, I'll never deny you. All that my Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, our Lord says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. I will under no circumstance, under no difficulty, whatever transpires, wayward, wandering, whatever, my beloved is mine, and I'll never cast him out. Oh, the eyes of a dove. Our Lord Jesus loves us. Never going to let us go, Bob. Never going to let us go. I look for the time when he calls me. I really do. Of course, some of you are older than me, but most of you are not. Man, you just... Someone said, well, it's kind of selfish for a man want to leave this world. Well, I don't know about that, but I'll be glad to get rid of it, won't you? Yeah. I'd be glad. I've seen about all that I want to see of it. I don't know if there's anything I haven't seen that I want to see. I want to be with him. Trials and troubles, no more. No tears. No wanderings. We'll be taken up with him completely. We'll know him. We'll know him as he's known. Paul, you know, over there in the book of Philippians, he said, oh, that I might know him. He knew him. But he said, oh, that I might know him. Well, I think all of us have that desire to a degree anyhow. Now, I prize God's sovereignty that chose me in eternity past. I prize that. That's great blessing to my poor heart to think that God would choose me, and that he would send the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem me by his own blood. I prize those things. And I prize the fact that I'm clothed in his righteousness and am looked upon by God as though I'd never sinned. That's a high prize for me. Being accepted in the beloved and having all of my sins forgiven yesterday, today, and forever. All of them. There will not be a sin. That's God, not one sin that'll rise up in judgment and point its finger at the believer. Oh, God's faithful. Oh, no, I prize all those things. But I too, in a sense, like Paul, I like to know him better. I like to know him himself. I prize his righteousness that's imputed to me. I'd like to know himself. Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the person, him. That's what Paul's talking about. I yearn, he said, I press toward that mark that I might know him. Let's stand, Will.